Welcome to the Thursday, October 20th, 2011 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I am recording today from Jacksonville, Florida. Today's critical control is number 13, the limitation and control of network ports, protocols, and services. That, of course, goes to the heart of theshield.org, the system I built in 2000, in part observing all these attacks against my own firewall. The end goal of all of these port scans, of course, is to find some kind of vulnerable service that can then be exploited down the road as the attacker collects the reconnaissance results from the initial port scan. Now, since 2000, we made quite a bit of progress in protecting these services that we have listening. For example, host-based firewalls are now a normal thing to install by default on an operating system as it is being delivered. The tricky part I find usually about this control is to detect new listening services on a host, in particular if these services are malicious. Now, if someone just spins up a new service by mistake, usually just looking at the netstat results, for example, will tell you that this service is listening. However, if you have an attacker that already has some control over the system and is able to install a rootkit, then the attacker may very well mask the output for this particular service in netstat. Other ways to find new services, looking for example for ports that are never being used as an ephemeral port is one trick, but that of course assumes that that service is listening in the range that is used as ephemeral ports, or you have to wait for the attacker to actually connect to the service, and then you may be able to detect it in your IDS logs or traffic logs. A port scan can help, but then again, if you're talking about an attacker that's trying to hide, they may only allow access from particular source addresses, or for example, they require a certain setup for the protocol to actually reveal the service. But well, with that, let's take a look at some current threats. The flashback Trojan is in the news again. That's, of course, the Trojan that infects Macs. Now, Apple and the Trojan are sort of playing a little bit of cat and mouse game here, which is typical for anti-malware tools, where Apple tries to come up with a new signature and flashback then comes up with a new version that evades that signature. Now, to sort of halt that game, at least somewhat, flashback now added a new feature to disable the Mac Express Protect antivirus tool, so once you are infected, it will no longer download any updates. And security researcher Webster in Australia is probably sleeping a little bit better tonight after the bank, which he informed about a security vulnerability in its website, decided against further legal actions. It was one of these sad cases where the researcher saw an odd URL. He's in the customer with this bank and he saw his account ID in the URL. So he thought, hey, that doesn't look right. What if I change the account ID? And he ended up in someone else's account. Now, he did sort of the right thing where he immediately reported it to the bank. What he did kind of wrong was to try this in the first place, and with his report to the bank, he included the sort of proof of concept, a little Perl script actually, that would harvest all of the data. In return, he did not get a big thank you from the bank about informing him about a security problem. Instead, he got reported to police for hacking. This is a very public example of issues that you do run into with web applications. You do not have permission to security test a web application. So if you see issues like that, you may ask the bank, hey, I see that account ID here. It doesn't really look like it's authenticated any further. That doesn't look right. Now, at this point, of course, you don't know whether they do something that's not so obvious to you that may protect the information. But it's not really up to you to try it out and test whether or not you can get access to someone else's account. The sad part about this, of course, is that if you send in a fairly vague observation like this to a random help desk, yes, chances are that you will be ignored. And Google announced that it will start to redirect more users to the HTTPS version of its search page. So far, the default search page is HTTP, and you have the option to use HTTPS. What Google now says is that if you are signed in to Google as a user, it will redirect you to HTTPS, less to protect your search, but more to protect the cookie used to authenticate you because you are a signed in user. The change will not happen right away. They'll roll it out slowly, so more and more users will be redirected to the HTTPS version over time. Well, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.